All right, everybody, we're now recording. Please welcome to our monthly sponsorship forum. My name is Suzanne, and Susan and Cheryl are also here. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things
I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I cannot change.
And wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will be done.
Amen. Okay, everyone, please mute yourself. Star 6. Let's see. This is our monthly sponsorship forum. We have a couple of topics we will share on. We'll open it up for sponsors who have 30 days and have stepped up as a food sponsor to expound and share their experience. Anyone may ask a question. If you have a question, please be brief and to the point. Susan is our timekeeper. We have 3-minute time shares to allow all of us to share in a timely manner, because it's only 45 minutes. It is being recorded, so if you don't want to leave your name, just say you're a compulsive eater, and please no phone numbers. If anybody wants to leave their phone number, we will do so after the recording is stopped. So today, we are going to start off reading something from the sponsor guidelines, and I don't know who's going to do that, Susan or Cheryl.
Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl.
The CHOW is a disciplined and structured approach to working the 12 steps and 12 traditions. This is from the CHOW concept. Therefore, in members' progression of recovery, their disciplined and structured approach to working this program is to use the following sets of questions. So we have questions here. The 30 questions from the sponsor guidelines, 4-step inventory, steps 6 through 12, and then the maintenance questions and the 12 traditions study guide. Now, I'd like to go over these different sets of questions that we have with the sponsor. So the first set of 30 questions is the sponsor will read the question to you, and you write down the question, give her the answer the next day. Sometimes I have sponsors, they'll just write for like 2 minutes or 5 minutes just before they call me, and it'll be like a couple sentences, and it's not going to be in-depth. It's not about, you see that they didn't put any thought into it. And so for the sponsor's own, for me, I'll listen to whatever they share. You know, as a sponsor, I'll hear what they say, and I'll take whatever it is. There's no judgment and no comment. But it's for the benefit of the sponsee. It makes more sense if they spend a little time on that question, whichever question it is. I know for myself, when I write for my sponsor, which I do every day as well, you know, I can tell that I didn't really get anything from the question if I just did that, if I just wrote a couple sentences because I was in a rush. Then when I really sit down and concentrate and write, you know, for 15, 20 minutes. So in order to really understand a question, to help you get, the help that you're supposed to, I'm not getting this right. Okay, next, 4-step inventory. Now, this was hard when I first heard about the horrors of the 4-step inventory. I was kind of scared. And the 4-step inventory questions are in-depth. Some of them were embarrassing. Some of them I had to put off and to answer later. But it's wonderful when I finished that. It was so cleansing. It was so good. What really happened was that I began to see that there were certain things in my brain that were sitting there for a long, long time that I didn't ever work on or didn't even know that it was there. Resentments from people in the past, which I still carried with me. And it was amazing. These things were there. They were making me nervous. They were upsetting me. And I was possibly eating over those things as well. So going through the 4-step inventory, understanding what my character defects was, learning to see what it was that was hidden in my brain, that was from way past when, and then coming out on the other side and seeing that, hey, that was not that bad, and I've learned a lot. And then, of course, the character defects list was right there, so I could continue on. So that's 6 to 12. When we get to maintenance questions, those are great, too. And I have to remember that this writing is for me, and it's not for my sponsor. It's me who gets the benefit of the writing, not my sponsor. She listened to it. Now, regarding the four-step inventory, there are different ways to do it. Sometimes a sponsor will comment or just help you by possibly giving their experience and help in that situation. I myself do not like to do that. I like to give the sponsee just the benefit of quietly just, you know, no comment, just listen to what they have to say and not get involved. And we have to be very careful with that. We have to be really extremely careful. Because what I heard lately, which really upset me and all the others, most of us that heard it, was that when someone was turning over the four-step inventory, and that's very a sensitive, the person's very sensitive when doing that because we're bearing our soul, we're putting forth experiences that we're embarrassed about. But this is it. We have to do it. It makes us feel better later. But in that process, the sponsor at that point was shaming the person. It's, how did you do that? Why did you do that? These were things that she did in the past and in her teen years, and there was no reason for sponsor to ever comment on what happened to the person because then, of course, we'll never want to open up again. So that is something, if you feel uncomfortable with a sponsor, if you see that there's something going on that is, you know, it doesn't sound right, just call up someone else. Make those outreach calls. Call four or five people and explain the situation and see whether you need to move on or not. And, you know, then possibly have the discussion with your sponsor. But again, if you're not even comfortable doing that, just we have to know program. It's not about one person. It's not about personalities. It's about gaining that recovery, you know, growing in this program. The way I do that is with a sponsor. If we have a good relationship, it's going to happen. If it's not a comfortable one, I have a lot of problems with that. So please remember that it's having a wonderful sponsor is what it's all about. If you're not comfortable, reach out to people and let someone help you find another sponsor. Thank you. That's my...
Thank you, Cheryl. And I don't know if, Susan, if you wanted to comment on that or should we start on the topic that we had?
No, I mean, that's a good jumping off place to what
we
thought about, you know.
That's what I thought. So today we're going to share about the seven tools, why the seven tools, the importance of the seven tools, and they are a requirement. They're not suggested. So, Susan, would you like to start us off on the seven, you know, why we do them, the importance, what we get from them?
Sure. I was actually looking through the sponsoring in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How book to see if I could start with a jumping off point with that. Sorry, I thought I had it and then I lost it. So the tools allow us, this is on page 109 of one of the editions, there's a couple of editions, the tools allow us to recover on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. The tools support us in the primary purpose of CEA How, which is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. Sometimes the words structure and discipline the words structure and discipline can sound like punishments to some people, which may explain why some sponsees are resistant to the other tools. To help them reframe their concept of these words, you can let them know that rather than looking at structure and discipline as punishments, they can look at them as paths to freedom. When we are freed from compulsive eating by working the CEA How program, our lives open up. And then, I'm now on page 110 of the book, and it goes to, rather than just when we're reading at the beginning of a meeting, each of the tools, they actually give some explanation of what's the point of this being a tool? What's the point of this being an essential part of working the CEA How program? And you know, there are people who come in and really are, many of us, come in motivated, you know, to have a weight change and have a different relationship with food, and that's a more diet approach. And this is a much more global program about changing our lives and figuring out what's at the root of why we're eating compulsively. And it can take time for people to buy in, if you will, to doing their tools on a daily basis or on a weekly basis with meetings. Suzanne, we're just doing this first thing of the importance of it, right? We're not going into each tool specifically.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that for me, my real recovery happened when I just, and for those of you who've heard me share before, when I just took a black and white approach. I am powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. I am seeing people in these rooms who have a light in their eyes, are maintaining a healthy size body, and are doing this program, which seems radical to me, but let me just give it a try. And then I just did it. I said, okay, I'm going to be abstinent today with committing my food ahead of time and weighing and measuring my food and, you know, no flour, no sugar, and pushing myself away from the table when it's the end of the meal, which was radical for me. I mean, there was no end. You know, I was having so many feelings, and food just stuffed them down and numbed me out, and that was my way of functioning. And by just saying, I'm going to do it the way these people are doing it and see what happens and see what I have to do to get to the next meal, you know, I just did it. And so then I needed phone calls to get myself to the next meal, and I needed to be at meetings and to do service at the meetings, do readings, even though I was paralyzed with fear getting up and standing up and just reading, you know, a text that I'm reading. But I did it anyway. And the miracle started happening. And, you know, when it was time for me to start sponsoring, I did it anyway. And I had my sponsor to rely on. And I found that, you know, in the time that I had been working the program, I had gained knowledge and I had answers that I didn't even realize I had when I started sponsoring. The anonymity, you know, seems like a throwaway, but it isn't. It's an essential part of saying, I am no different, no better. I am a compulsive eater. You know, all the other people in this room are claiming they are compulsive eaters, and we are equals. We are fellows in this journey of recovery. And also, the other side of anonymity is what I share, I trust, is going to stay within the confines of this room, and I honor the anonymity of each person as they're sharing their story and their struggles, and, you know, and honor them that way. Service. When we read the in the seven tools service, I've done a count, and it's said 10 times in that sixth tool. And I think it's a recitation, it's an incantation, it's a way of saying service is the bedrock, is the backbone of this program. It's a way to give back, it's a way to ensure my recovery, and to also pay it forward for the next person who needs this program for the health of the organization of CEA Howe. And I'm a strong proponent for everyone stepping up and doing service. And then sponsoring is a form of service, for sure, and is a very essential way for me to refine, learn, develop the skill of being in relationship with another person, and to continue that learning edge of being in relationship with another person. I started out as a punitive sponsor, and I have great regret for that. And over time, I have been able to recognize how unskillful that is and unhelpful in so many ways that is, and to learn how to have an open heart and a willingness to walk with my sponsee in their journey of recovery, and it is their journey of recovery, and I am a witness, and I am a partner in their journey. And I'm grateful for the fact that I can have made all the mistakes I made and done harm to other people by probably chasing them away from recovery in that old approach. And, I, again, have great regret for that. But I got to stay and learn and offer more as I was learning. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, would you like to share on the importance of the seven tools?
Yeah, I'll share a bit. The seven tools, I'm not going to go in order. I'm going to talk about service first. And service is a very important part of my program. I've said that again and again. And I could not stay abstinent. I could not be part of this program if I wasn't doing some type of service. Now, when I first came in, and I didn't want to do anything, then my sponsor, I didn't want to share. My sponsor told me, if you don't share, I'll have to let you go. I got up at the next meeting, and I just said, my name is Cheryl. I've said this many times. And I sat down. I said, my sponsor made me do this. But that was the beginning. It broke the ice, and then I took on the position of treasurer at that place. And slowly but surely, I got to be closer to the people in the rooms, and I built relationships because I was talking, because I was part of service. I was involved. I was doing something. I was helping see how I continue to function. So, and then different areas as well. I continued on. I've had many different positions, which I loved. I love being of service. I also love being intergroup rep, for example, where I get to see the workings of the business workings. We make decisions as an intergroup rep. We can go to the intergroup meetings and vote and make decisions on what we want as we have discussed with our own group, with our different meeting groups. And the business meetings, I like to be involved with that. There's so many different things that we can do and that will make me feel connected, keeps me more grounded in program, makes me feel like I'm part of it, and I love to do that. There's another thing about sharing your hope, strength, and experience. I never give advice. It's not what I'm supposed to do here. Sponsors are grappling with the problem, and this is from the book. That's not one of compulsive eating. I do not tell them how to solve these problems. I'm not a therapist. I don't have a license, and I don't want to be a therapist. So I don't do that. If I listen to their problem, if I need to say that this is how I have dealt with this situation in the past, that's all I do. And then if I have a situation where I need to do more than that, I'll discuss it with my sponsor, and putting our two heads together, we'll figure it out. And the time on the telephone should be program-oriented. Do not allow your social needs to negate the need to carry the message. It's important for the newcomer to realize that we are where we are because of the program. That's very important to me. I just heard someone say they're a newcomer at this meeting. I plan to call them up and discuss with them. And, always tell them how it worked for me, how it continues to work for me, how I continue to see the promises, how working this program has changed my life. I've become a different person. I'm working on those character defects every day. And then, I was never happy, joyous, and free. I was always worried about something happening or negative all the time. Today I don't have to do that. I choose not to. I choose to be happy, joyous, and free. Now, that's not happening all the time. There are things going on in my life. But I always like to turn it back and letting go, letting God take over his part, which is there for me all the time. I don't always acknowledge it, but I know that he has my back, and I just need to be very grateful and let him know that I'm grateful. So these are things that have happened to me. Admit that you're having a problem. If you should slip by eating too much or something that's not in the program, admit it. This is for sponsors. If you're afraid of admitting to your sponsor that you slip, that is not a good thing. It behooves a conscientious sponsor to help the newcomer find another sponsor if the sponsee wants to change. So if you have slipped, the first thing you need to do is tell your sponsor, and then you do tell your sponsees, but they have the option of staying with you even though you slipped, or they can leave. You have the sponsor, the responsibility of the sponsor to do that. Let them know that. But you can have an option to let them go. You can say, listen, I can't deal with it right now. I have to work on my own recovery. So here's someone that you can work with. And I always try to make sure that I have another name for them that they can continue on. And your discipline and all the newcomer is all the newcomer may experience as disciplines. You're a vital link in carrying the See How message. So what they hear from you, they don't know anything else. They come into program, a newcomer does, as did I, not knowing anything at all. I had never been to a 12-step program before, so I didn't have a clue. I didn't know why people were happy in the rooms. I thought this was just another diet place. So when a newcomer comes in, she's following what's happening. And so it's very important that I make sure that she sees it in a very positive way. With a very positive attitude, and I do my best. You know, I make sure that ask them to go to meetings. Make sure that they get those three meetings in. If they're not near a place where there are live meetings, then get onto the phone bridge. That's the only place where I learn how to get the experience, strength, and hope. I get it from my sponsor, but it's most important for me to get onto that phone and listen to people sharing their experience. I learn from that. I learn all the time regarding starting a new meeting. I remember sitting at the World Service Convention Conference a few years ago, and Ray Z was there. She was sitting with us in the lobby, and someone was complaining about a meeting, and she turns around and says, just open another meeting. Just open another meeting. And we went home, and we started opening another meeting, although we had two in Brooklyn that we were involved with. Well, I'm glad to say that we're starting another one this Tuesday. It'll be our fourth in Brooklyn. And it's a Tuesday night. If anybody's in the area, give me a call, and I'll tell you where it is. So just helping See How continue to function. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Cheryl. And this is Suzanne. Cheryl and Susan have done a wonderful job going over the tools. I just have a couple of thoughts. I remember my first sponsor told me that I must not treat the tools like a buffet. Like I pick and choose. Well, today I'll do calls, and tomorrow I might do meetings, and, oh, yeah, I'm weighing and measuring, and it's not a buffet. They are to be done every day because I do not know which tool is going to keep me abstinent or which tool, by not doing it, is going to help in a slip. So abstinence is first, and it is a tool. It's not a goal. You have to get out of the food and the compulsion in order to work the steps to find out what's really going on. And that first tool, the abstinence, you know, we got to have that forever abstinent booklet. That is very, very important for our abstinence. And then the literature and writing. Once again, literature and writing. What must we have? Big book, 12 and 12, the forever abstinent booklet, because there's other information in that booklet that we must have. And then when we step up as a sponsor, the sponsor guidelines. And these are things, these are vital to our program. Weighing and measuring must have those tools too, you know, the spoons and the scales. And in my case, I have a talking scale. It's very loud. I do not take it out with me because there's no volume control. And I've been, one of my sponsors, I had one actually got kicked out of a restaurant for using it. But it is at home, and I do use it faithfully. And literature and writing. As it was said here before, the writing is for me. It's not for my sponsor. It's not to impress anybody. It is for me and for my higher power so that I can uncover, discover, and discard. And I know that for me, in the concept, I think it says in the concept, we are at a critical level. I tried the buffet style of program a long time ago. And, it, you know, half measures availed me nothing or very little. So these are the seven tools we must, and part of those seven tools having the appropriate literature, and teaching our sponsees that we must have these pieces of literature. It's surprising I get phone calls about, I didn't know the tools were a requirement, or I don't have the Forever Abstinent booklet. My sponsor doesn't either. And how are you sponsoring? How are they being sponsored? It's very, very important to have these. And like I said, we do not know which tool is keeping us abstinent. And I don't want to, for me, I don't want to risk finding out. Yeah. And that literature and writing is so, so important. Service. I have to get out on myself. I have to give back. I'm reminded of the trifecta, the unity, recovery, and service, which is not talked often enough or should be more prevalent in our program. Unity, recovery, service. They all go hand in hand, very important. And anonymity, what people say at a meeting, what my sponsee say to me, has to say, you know, I can't share that with anybody. Meetings, I go to meetings because I'm forgetful. You know, I'll forget. I have to hear all the steps and the traditions. I have to have that contact with other compulsive eaters, just like the phone calls. I have to have that daily contact because I'll forget. Sponsorship. I must have to give back because my sponsor gave back to me. So those are the things I'd like to share. Would anyone like to share or ask a question? Sponsors may share. Anyone may ask a question on the seven tools.
Yeah, this is Loretta from Ohio.
Hey, Loretta, go ahead.
Yeah, I was debating whether or not to say anything here, but it's just one thing that some of my sponsees have said to me, and I have to tell them that's not the way the tools are written, and that is that sponsorship is service, but it's not the same thing as doing service. It's a separate tool, and I've had sponsors tell me over and over, well, I sponsored today. And I said, I know, but you need to be giving some kind of service. And they will argue with me about that and say, well, sponsorship is service. The way the seven tools are, and I need to be doing both. I need to be having a sponsor, and then once I get my 30 days, I need to be sponsoring, and I need to be giving some kind of service. You know, chairing a meeting or doing the fellowship after the meeting or timing or something. So I just wanted to say that. Thanks.
Thank you, Loretta, and that is so important because if I'm not reading, at least reading in a meeting, am I invested in my program or I'm just taking up a chair? If I'm invested in something, that's a good thing, and that's the way I look at it. I don't know if Susan or Cheryl would like to comment on that.
Well, this is Cheryl. Well, first of all, when I do any kind of service at a meeting, I feel like I'm part of it. Otherwise, it's just like I'm just there listening, but I'm not part of it. So sometimes a newcomer might just do one of the readings. The first four readings do not need any abstinence. They can do that, and I'll suggest this to them. And when they get the 7 days, I ask if they share. Usually they're not so happy to do that right away, but eventually they do. We had a qualification this morning at one of the meetings, and the person that qualified said she'd never done this before, and she was fearful. But she was asked to do it, and she thought it was time for her to do that for service. It was a wonderful share, and once she started, she was okay. She went on and did well, very well. So sometimes we're afraid of doing that service, but once we get started, it becomes something that we want to do. We want to give back. I need to give back. I cannot just keep taking from this program. I feel that I need to give back because I get all that. Going on to meeting, listen to people share, get that experience, strength, and hope. I can't just keep on taking. I need to give back. And so service is one way of doing that, and there's so many different parts of service that can be done, which a plug for intergroup reps. We're going to have that meeting. We went through our list of intergroup reps, and we have so many meetings that are not covered. Being an intergroup rep is wonderful. You know, you're there, you hear what's going on, what's happening, you get to vote, you get to help make decisions, and then you get to take this back to your group in a business meeting. So I like doing that. I like being involved in the process of hearing what's going on, making decisions, putting my two cents into, and all you need to do is have 90 days, and there's so many meetings that do not have intergroup reps. And appreciate if you can get on to those. Again, you can write me, and I can give you the email me. I'll give you different groups that need intergroup reps. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, I don't know if you wanted to share. Or...
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm just remembering the I had come from a different 12-step recovery program where it was service was expected, and generally sponsors would say, "Look, you need to do service, and service up to the level of what you're available to do based on your abstinence, and keep on doing service and service and service and service." And a lot of service was done. A lot of hands went up for readings, and the intergroup was incredibly vibrant and active in outreach beyond the 12-step recovery program. And it was very impressive how much service was done by how many members. And CHOW generally takes a much more gentle approach to encouraging our members to do service. And the difference is, I think by percentage, fewer people do service, and that's unfortunate. And yet, that, I think, is, in the end, the better approach, to have somebody wanting to do service. At that, as sponsors, we need to continue to lovingly, gently, and yet with conviction, speak to the importance of service, how it fortifies my program when I am doing service, as well as paying it forward and ensuring that the program is strong and that the next person who needs recovery from compulsive eating will be offered an opportunity to know about our program and be offered an opportunity to see a program that is vibrant and has what they are looking for. So service is, as I said before, an essential part of this program, both for our individual recovery as well as for the strength of the whole. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hi, Susan, calling from New York.
Thank you, Susan.
Hi, thanks, everyone, for this sponsorship forum. The tools are important to me in my recovery, and I wanted to know from the panel, do you consider it a slip when sponsees are not using and working all the 7 tools? I know what the definition of slip is in the sponsor guidelines, but if it's not a slip, what is it? And work that out when sponsees are not working the 7 tools every day? Thanks.
Good question, Susan. Okay, Cheryl, you first.
It's a wonderful question. I just had this with my sponsor, and it happens a lot, but we were going over something. The person was in for 3 weeks, and they didn't want to write. They didn't want to work the tools. So what do we do? And my first instinct is that, although I've never done it before, is to say maybe this program is not for you. This was my sponsee, and she wanted to do that. And then I asked my sponsor, she says, "We don't do that. We're here, and all we need to know is that whoever wants to lose weight can come into these rooms. You know, we're here for the people that want to work it, even if they're not working it. I need to let them do it. You know, let them take their time. It's frustrating because, you know, how can I continue sponsoring someone that's just basically giving me their food? Or even if they do write a couple sentences, they're not working the rest of the tools." I don't know the answer. I don't know whether we have an answer to that. There are some people that do let them go and tell them that maybe it's not for you, but I don't think that's fair because that's not what we are. That's not who we are. So we'll take anyone that wants to stop eating compulsively. And then, you know, wait, what happens in the end anyway? What I've experienced, or what my sponsor experienced, is that these people eventually leave. Because if they're not working the program, they're not getting the benefit of the tools and the support and the interaction with people on the outreach calls. Why would they stay? It'll just be like another diet for them. They will eventually get tired of giving their food and not doing anything else, and they will leave. That's a fact. So do we want to hang in there for that duration of that time? My sponsor wants me to do that, so that's what I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, I don't know if you want to comment on that.
I will say that I take a different approach, and I want to offer an opportunity for someone to have recovery, and I want to encourage a forward motion in that recovery. And of course, it can be in small increments. But without the tools, I'm not going to be seeing that in another person. And so, you know, I will explain my understanding of how this program works, my belief that following the program as it is written is what has worked for me, that what I am offering is my experience. And, you know, if over time the person is just focusing on the food, I will begin to say, if some version of, you know, if you are unwilling to be working the tools, then I don't believe I am the right sponsor for you, because I do want to see that you are working the program in a way that I believe is going to help you in maintaining your abstinence, and beyond that, growing and understanding more of why it is that food is something that you turn to beyond just nourishment. So I just begin to have that message, and, you know, and then I will say, if I start that discussion of perhaps I'm not the right sponsor for you, I always say, you know, and if we decide to, you know, no longer be sponsee, we will then be fellows in this program, and I will always be available for outreach calls, and we'll reach out to you for support in the fellowship through the outreach calls. Thank you.
Thank you. I just would like to quickly, you know, we're ending our time soon. Many years ago, I had a couple of sponsees, actually, that had so many experiences sponsoring. They were emotionally distraught over it. And I said, okay, take a break. And when you're ready, you will sponsor again, because we have that as a tool. It's a requirement. And I didn't say anything. And at some point, they both said, they were doing all the other tools, by the way, everything. So they did a lot of service, they did all the writing, they did everything else. They themselves at some point said, I have to sponsor now. I see that I need to sponsor. But I did point out to them, but I like to say I'm not a stormtrooper. I'm not a drill sergeant. I had one of those in another program, and I think it did more damage. However, I learned how not to sponsor, and that was one of them, not to beat someone over the head with it. Because I'm not going to get good results. It's not good for me, not good for the person. But yeah, if I want the full benefits of the program, I do all the tools. Am I perfect? No. But I do them. And a long time ago, another sponsee did not like to do the writing. Common, right? Common. And I said, the writing's for you, even if you are slipping. I still want, because there are requirements, all the tools, and that includes the writing. You know, if you're just going to call me and complain or vent and tell me, you know, about X, Y, or Z, please don't waste my time. Even if you're in relapse, if you're willing to do the tools, I will be here. But just to complain, no, I'm busy. So I don't slip someone if they're not doing the tools. I have a discussion about what's going on in their life. And some people have a harder time with a certain tool for whatever reason. And I had a problem with the literature and writing because I'm blind. And my first sponsor was a lawyer, and I thought she would prosecute me. She did not. She took a very loving approach, and she helped me a great deal. So it's a loving approach and yet firm. I don't know if that helps, Susan.
Oh, this is Cheryl.
Thank you all very much. Yep.
Whoops.
Oh, go ahead, Susan. What were you going to say? Thank you all. And is that it?
Yes, that was it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Cheryl, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to add that the whole point for me in this program is to get that recovery, to get that closeness to my higher power, to change from who I was to who I am today. These are the choices I make today. I choose to do that. And so I try to explain that to the sponsee, because just turning your food over is not helping you get the support. You're not enjoying the promises that come true. So for me, it's very important. I just remember that I say that all the time, is to understand that this program is different because of those outreach calls, because of the meetings, and because the ability to change, to get close to my higher power, that I never had anywhere else. So we need to utilize, I need to utilize that. I also need to make sure that my sponsors understand that, and possibly make it easier for them to make those outreach calls or to work the tools. So I just need to put a little more information out there and make them really see it, because they don't really know that. We don't discuss that. It's in the sharing, but we don't really have it in there where the choices that we have today regarding getting close to higher power and understanding that we have support. Make those outreach calls. You know, learn from the people. Pick their brains. And so once I explain that, I don't know if it always helps, but sometimes it might. Thanks.
Thank you. I think we might have time for it.
We're at 45 minutes, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's see. Our next sponsorship forum is April
14th.
Same dial number, same access code. I will stop the recording after the Serenity Prayer, and we will leave our phone numbers. If any available sponsors are here, please leave your phone numbers at that time. Please, and I want to thank everybody here, Cheryl, Susan, and everyone who is listening and asking questions. Please join us in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity,
grant me the serenity
to accept
to things, accept the things I can change.
Courage
to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will not mine
be done.